nobody out, and it's Grayson Schaefer representing the go-ahead run. Now, here's we're going to get a call to the bullpen here. Pitching coach Jack Nathan has seen enough. Bases are loaded, nobody out, 10-7 the score. We'll be back from Riverfront Stadium in just a couple minutes. You are listening to Raptor Baseball. Don't go anywhere on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an Earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right?
New pitcher into the ball game for Waterloo, that's the right-hander Sam Hart. In the spot of Sam Skarich, Andy Yakimer, voice of the Raptors on WFHR. It is 10-7 in this top of the ninth inning. Bases are full of Raptors with nobody out. Four straight Raptors put on the bases via three walks and a hit by pitch as the first pitch from the right-hander. Hart is in there for a called strike. Hart, a lacrosse logger a season ago and three games so far with Waterloo this year. The 0-1 pitch, a fastball in the outside corner. Grayson Schaefer, that's called a strike. Onati on third, Matthew on second, Buchanan on first. Chance here for the Raptors to get back into this ball game. They've already put up one here in the ninth inning. The 0-2, breaking ball, fouled away. Duggar on deck. Then it's Jorge Degatti. The 0-2 home from Hart. Bounce straight back. Hart last worked an inning in a third. And he lost to Rochester on June 15th, 11-10. Did not allow a run or a hit. Walked one and struck out two of the five honker batters he faced. Look at Skarich's line. He's responsible for all three runners out on the bases. Did not record an out with the second Buck pitcher to not record an out after entering the ballgame in the 24 pitches he threw. Not allow a hit, walk three, and did not strike out any. Another 0-2 coming here from Hart. The payoff pitch. That one, this is low and away, and it kicks away from the catcher, breaking for home. Onati, the throw to the plate, is high. Mason Onati in to score. Following to third is Matthews, staying put on first is Buchanan. It is 10-8 Bucks with nobody out in the ninth inning. The 1-2 breaking ball, foul tip into the glove of the catcher Mazok for the first out of the inning. Castle Duggar's got a couple hits in this ballgame, singled in the fourth, singled and scored in the seventh. For four against Buck pitching today, the first pitch misses low. Bugatti on deck, then it's Trotter Boston. Go-ahead run is Duggar in the box right now, the 1-0. This is high, two balls and no strikes on the UCLA Bruins. Comes the 2-0 home. Right down the heart of the plate. It's in there for a called strike. After Degatti, it'll be Trotter Boston. Two won the pitch. And on the hands, fouled back to the netting. A 90-mile-an-hour fastball. It's now 2-2. The 2-2. Duggar slaps this one. Foul down the left field line. Good battle here from Cashel in his fifth plate appearance of the ball game. Another 2-2 in this tough fought battle. Another one fouled away down the left field line. Off first being held on is Buchanan, the 2-2. Breaking ball got him swinging. Back-to-back punch-outs for the right-hander. Hart and Waterloo is an out away from winning the opener in this series. 10-8 the score. On third is Matthew. On first is Walker Buchanan. The go-ahead run is Jorge Degatti in the box right now. Righty on righty battle. First pitch to Degatti. A breaking ball missing away. After Boston, it's Tracer Lopez. The 1-0. Breaking ball. Got him to swing right through it. A lot of off speed from this Waterloo bullpen here this afternoon. 8 runs, 9 hits, 5 errors for the Rafters. 10 runs on 13 hits and no errors for the Bucks. Here comes the 1-1. That one misses well outside. Sprawling across is Mazok just to receive that one. It's 2-1. McElfatrick led off the inning by drawing a 5-pitch walk and later scored. Onati hit by a pitch one batter later and was the other Rafter to touch home plate this inning. They're looking to make it more. Tying run on first base and Walker Buchanan. The 2-1. Breaking ball, swing and a miss. Throw down to second base is in time, and that's how this ball game is going to end. Walker Buchanan caught stealing, and the Bucks win the opener 10-8. 8 runs on 9 hits, 5 errors for the Raptors, 10 runs on 13 hits, and no errors for Waterloo. Trying to steal Buchanan to put him into scoring position doesn't work out for the Raptors. We'll be back in a couple minutes for your official postgame show of Raptor Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do. Do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Raptors drop the opener here at Riverfront Stadium. 10-8 the score. Andy Ockman, your voice, the Raptors on WFHR. Back with you for your official postgame show in the opener of this series. The Raptors put up 6 of their 8 runs today in the 7th inning. They fell behind early, though, 3-0 through 5. It was a 2-run first inning. Lucas Moore, Ben Wilmus getting their way on. Wilmus, the 2-0 hitter for the Bucks, singling home Moore after his leadoff double, got the party started offensively for Waterloo. Evan Morrison chipped in on the second run with an RBI single, making it 2-0. A run put up in the 5th after a double again from Wilmus, reaching on an error, Morrison then allowed the run to come in to score. The Raptors, though, trailing 3-0, a 6th spot in the top of the 7th, sending 10 to the plate, taking their walks, bringing in a couple of pinch hitters off the bench. Jorge Degatti, Trotter Boston coming through with base hits in a variety of forms. Boston bringing home a run on his single. And as well, Tracer Lopez bunting his way aboard. Some small ball getting thrown in there in the mix. And then taking four consecutive walks slash hit by pitches from the 1-4 spots in the order. Being patient, doing their time against the Buck pitching here today. It wasn't enough, though, as Waterloo responded with a 3-spot to tie it in the 7th. And then 4 runs in the bottom of the 8th to give them the 10-6 lead. The Raptors threatened in the 9th after the first 4 hitters of the inning were put on. But a new pitcher in the ballgame, Sam Hart, slammed the door shut. Walker Buchanan thrown out trying to steal 2nd to end this contest. The Raptors dropped to 13-13 on the season. The Bucks proved to 14-11. As mentioned, we're back here tomorrow night at 6:35, first pitch. Nick Paulson got the start for the Raptors in this one. Second time facing Waterloo this season, throwing 3 innings, allowing 3 hits, 2 runs. They were earned. He walked 1 and struck out 4 on 68 pitches. From there, Matt Hurd, 3 2/3 innings, 8 hits allowed from the North Georgia right-hander, allowing 4 runs, 3 of them earned. Did not walk a Buck hitter today and struck out 3. Michael Perrello, though, the right-hander from UC Irvine, threw the final 2 1/3 innings and picked up the loss this evening, and this afternoon, I should say, for Wisconsin Rapids in his 2nd appearance with the Raptors. Chaney Trout got the win out of the bullpen for Waterloo, throwing 2 scoreless and hitless innings, striking out a Raptor hitter on 23 pitches. Aiden Epperlin got the start for the Bucks, going 6+, allowing 8 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned, walked 2 and struck out 2 on 72 pitches. Sam Hart collecting the save. Time of the game, 3 hours, 5 minutes today. 609 fans in attendance. 78 degrees and sunny for first pitch. 8 runs on 9 hits, 5 errors, the defense being an Achilles heel for Wisconsin Rapids today. They left 7 on the bases. 10 runs on 13 hits, no errors, 8 left on for Waterloo. The first time they have beaten your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors this season. We'll be back at it here tomorrow. Same place, different time, 6:35 first pitch to wrap out this 2-game series from Riverfront Stadium. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's broadcast of Raptor Baseball. As always on WFHR, I'm Andy Yockum signing off for now. We'll catch you back here tomorrow night on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org.
Making sure that people can access the health care that they need to be well and thrive. And people want their rights and freedoms back. And I think that also crosses, in most parts, the divides that we have in our state, that whether you're Republican, independent, or Democrat, we have seen folks want women to have the right to control their own bodies and those freedoms to be able to get the health care they need without having to be near death in order to access the care they need.
See, there are things we can agree on, and there are things we can get done together. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, our junior senator from Wisconsin, thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate it, Senator. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat sets the record straight on right-wing media and politicians who've resorted to cherry-picking video in order to tell lies about President Biden, perhaps as a distraction against Donald Trump's increased rally ramblings.
This is for you, Greg. We miss you.
No, I can't smile without you.
Okay, actually, it's for Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow's birthday today, so we'll get in a tune or two coming up a little bit. But I'm happy you're here too, Luke. Just to make that part clear.
Oh, don't worry. I'm never concerned. I'm not the one that needs the fawning over to make sure that I remember.
I like that confidence. I really do. No. It's just about 6:21 on this Monday morning. Let's get to unpacking some of the news today. And then more birthdays in our history lesson coming up in 30 minutes. On social media, for the second time in 2 weeks, conservative media is doing more than simply, say, distorting something that President Biden says or does. The outright lying and manipulation of their audience, of their readers, of their viewers, of their listeners. We talked about this on Friday morning with Mark Jacob, about the first instance of this is so low, and yet they did it again over the weekend, and here's what I mean. You'll recall that just over a week ago, President Biden was in Europe commemorating D-Day, and he and other world leaders were gathered, and paratroopers were starting to land to commemorate the paratroopers jumping 80 years ago. In one case, President Biden appears to wander off screen. Now, if you're looking at multiple camera shots, you see what he was doing. A paratrooper had just landed. He was walking over to him to congratulate him, to talk to him. Anybody would be very happy to have a sitting president of the United States come over to say hi to you. But of course, it's so easy to just look at the one camera frame and say, oh, President Biden appeared to wander off. He got lost. He's just wandering off the frame. Is he okay? And of course, it was so easy to show that that was complete and total manipulation of the audience by conservative media outlets. And you would think they might have been chastened a bit, maybe feel a slight sense of shame. And yet they did it again over this past weekend when President Biden gathered with former President Obama and many others at a fundraiser in California. And one of the first posts I see this morning is from Congressman Derek Van Orden, again saying, you know, sharing somebody with a film snippet that appears to show President Biden getting confused and wandering off the stage, and President Obama has to bring him back in. And then again, you look at the full video, you look at the other camera angle, and of course, it's at the end of it, and they're standing up, and they're on stage, and people, you know, will often walk to one part of the stage, wave, or talk to the crowd. They'll walk over to another part of the stage, wave, and talk to the crowd, which is what President Biden was doing. But, of course, Derek Van Orden and others are not interested in that if they can lie and again try to put forth this narrative that President Biden is somehow, you know, not cognitive, not, you know, not all with it. Why would they do that? Why would they lie about that? I don't know. Maybe it's because that over the weekend, former President Trump talked about, you know, how Joe Biden needs, you know, a cognitive skills test. And Trump talked about, you know, how he passed it. He passed a test like that when it was administered by his doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson, you know, Ronnie Johnson. Here's the thing. If you're going to talk about taking a cognitive skills test, get the doctor's name right. It's Ronnie Jackson. While talking about a cognitive test, he screwed up his doctor's name. That's where, again, I should have had the Curb Your Enthusiasm music ready because it was perfect for it. But that's why you do it. You do it to distract. You lie about the one to distract from the other. Whether it was, you know, in Europe or whether it was over the weekend. And instead, you get Trump saying, yeah, my doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson. There it is. Okay, so Derek Van Orden passes that along as a way to distract from Trump, apparently. But maybe it's a way to distract from something Derek Van Orden did as well. Maybe it's a way to distract from a vote late last week in favor of putting a Confederate monument back at Arlington National Cemetery. And keep in mind, Derek Van Orden loves to talk about being a Navy SEAL and being a veteran. And yet he and more than 190 Republicans voted to restore a Confederate monument, not just any Confederate monument. Here's more from Aaron Blake with the Washington Post. He writes, a racist massacre at a black South Carolina church this week in 2015, George Floyd's murder in 2020, intensified a reckoning over the role of Confederate symbols in American public life and government. It's a reckoning that has proven uneasy in the Republican Party, but now the party has landed overwhelmingly on the side of commemorating the Confederates. The century-old monument at Arlington, which was removed last December, features a slave, a black, quote, mammy, holding the infant child of a white officer as an enslaved black man follows the officer off to war. The monument references the, quote, lost cause, the mythology about the Civil War era that is favored by apologists for the Confederacy. Now, this amendment to a proposed defense spending measure lost big time, 230 to 192, but only 24 Republicans had the courage. I would go a step further. Only 24 Republicans had the brains not to restore a Confederate monument, but not Derek Van Orden, not Tom Tiffany, not Scott Fitzgerald, not Glenn Grothman. To those and any others who say, well, this is just part of Southern heritage and tradition, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries put it this way. What tradition are you upholding? Slavery? Rape? Kidnapping? Jim Crow? Lynching? Racial oppression? All of the above? Is how Hakeem Jeffries put it. When you hear the word heritage, be alert. Heritage is a word that's now used in political terms to defend laziness, to defend the indefensible, to defend inaction, to defend uncaring, which is where I would again strongly urge local media in Wisconsin to stop treating Derek Van Orden with kid gloves. He was once again at a local farm over the weekend talking about farming and the family farm, and we need to keep the family farm going. It's an integral part of our heritage here in Wisconsin, Van Orden said. Heritage. A word to defend uncaring and inaction, like the farm bill, where Derek Van Orden hasn't done a single thing to make life better for Wisconsin farmers. But he's got time to spread lies about Joe Biden and vote to restore a Confederate monument. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of the several stories that are in the news this week. Newspapers overseas now are taking note of how Wisconsin Republicans are sitting on money and allowing water contaminated with PFAS to stay contaminated rather than do anything about it. And we'll talk about the Supreme Court coming down on the side of mass murderers when it comes to laws that they say are okay that consider machine guns to be legal on the streets. Back after this. You're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. It is still sweltering outside. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Shinard.
Heat persists mid-Atlantic into the southeast, and we actually see another area in the middle part of the country, so we also have heat advisories across portions of the plains and Mississippi Valley as well.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro spoke at the groundbreaking for a new campus at the site of the Tree of Life Synagogue massacre in Pittsburgh 6 years ago. 11 people were killed.
We joined today to recommit ourselves to ensuring that their memory and the memory of that day will never be
forgotten.
The first presidential debate is Thursday, and President Biden has an edge on issues like climate change. CBS's Fred Backus.
Most younger voters see they've been left an environment in bad condition, a world that is more dangerous than it used to be, and with fewer opportunities for young people.
In the latest CBS News poll, Biden leads among young voters by 23 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Brewers comeback cut short. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked like the Brewers had made a tremendous comeback. Down 6-0, ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs. Bryce Terang at the plate on Fox Sports.
Burritos 1-2. In the air to left. Azokar started in, has to race back all the way to the corner, and it is gone! And Bryce Terang with his second career grand slam has completely shifted the complexion of this game in the ninth.
But the Brewers ended up losing 6-4 despite the grand slam. Milwaukee 0-3 in the series heading into today's game. A recap coming up later tonight. Elsewhere, the last place Rockies beating the Nationals 8-7 thanks to a pitch clock violation. It was a tie game. Bottom of the ninth, the Rockies loaded the bases when the home plate umpire declared the Nationals pitcher Kyle Finnegan was 1 second too late throwing a pitch. It forced the game-winning run with an automatic walk. It's the first time a game has been won because of a pitch clock violation. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 55. Mostly sunny, 80 are high on Monday. Monday night, scattered storms possible with a low around 66. A few showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday with a high near 84. Wednesday, sunshine 74.
Currently 75 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as I'll be making my way back from the dentist. Will the Novocaine have worn off? It could be fun. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to the Chad Holmes Show. This week, Chad was joined by Wausau native Jennifer Grundy, who has spent the last 15 years living in Milwaukee. Chad and Jennifer discussed the reality of living in Milwaukee after the former president called the place a, quote, horrible city.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, coming up next month, the city of Milwaukee will become the epicenter of the political universe as the Republican National Convention comes to the city in July. However, Milwaukee has become a major news topic in the past week as former President Donald Trump, in his return visit to the United States Capitol for the first time since the insurrection in January of 2021 last week, when he was talking to House Republicans. In front of his trip to the state of Wisconsin for the GOP convention, he told House GOP members that he thinks that Milwaukee is horrible. And frankly, it's something that has not just been Trump over the years. Republicans in the state assembly and state senate have used Milwaukee as a bit of a punching bag over the years. And I thought it'd be good to talk to somebody from Milwaukee, especially somebody that's from here in Wausau, somebody that went to high school here, somebody that went to college here with myself many years ago. So I reached out to Jennifer Grundy, who now lives in Milwaukee. She's lived in Milwaukee for a number of years, but a Wausau native, and very happy to have her on the show. And Jen, great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you for having me, Jen.
Absolutely. And I said that you're somebody that's from around here. You went to Newman Catholic and then went to UW-Marathon County, and then you've been able to live in a lot of very interesting places. And I think, you know, be able to see a lot of our country and see a lot of the world. And I thought it'd be good to get a perspective from somebody that's now living in Milwaukee. And first of all, how long have you lived in Milwaukee?
Since 2009.
Okay.
So 15 years.
So, yeah. Yep, you've been there for quite a while. And I wanted to start off with, because as I said, it's not just been Donald Trump who made, I would say, disparaging remarks about the city of Milwaukee. But over the years, during budget battles and other political campaigns, Republicans in Wisconsin have not had the most pleasant things to say about the city of Milwaukee.
True.
I wanted to ask you, as somebody that lived here in central Wisconsin and has a sense of folks here in central Wisconsin, what can you tell us that maybe we wouldn't know because we haven't lived in Milwaukee? We haven't, maybe many of us have not lived in a large metropolitan area. What have you found out living in large metropolitan areas? And it's not just been Milwaukee, but for folks that live in areas such as Wausau and maybe the communities around Wausau, what have you learned living in a bigger city?
Well, I mean, community is really strong. There's a lot of different neighborhoods here, and everyone kind of looks after each other, you know. There's not that coldness maybe that people think, or, you know, horrible activity happening all the time. I mean, yes, there's crime everywhere, you know, but I've really found that living in larger areas, people are kinder than you think. I lived in New York City, and, you know, that is a place that's notoriously known for being, you know, very brisk and no one's nice and they, you know, they just go about their business. But it's actually the opposite. You know, people are people. We all look for a sense of community and a place to call home. And I mean, I definitely see that here in Milwaukee. It's a very vibrant city.
In terms of living there, and I think you kind of hit on something that many people would not believe in a sense, because we have this, I don't know if it's a myth, but there's always this sense that neighborhoods or community or people in small towns do have that where you know each other, that if you live in a big city, it's harder to know each other. From what you just said, that's not the case, that you are able to truly know each other, know your neighbors, know your community.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I live in River West, which is a very, very funky, fun, interesting neighborhood. It's evolved a lot over the years, even in the time that I've lived there, which I've been there now for 10 years. But it's, you know, people look out for one another. There's a lot of inclusion and acceptance. It's, you know, it's, and you see that a lot around the city in a lot of different neighborhoods. But, you know, River West is one that's, you know, had its issues with crime and still continues to have some issues with crime. But people really, when those things happen, they look out for one another. They're there to help. people offer food, you know, services, anything they can, information. So it's, you know, it's wonderful.
What have you learned living in a bigger community since leaving Wausau? I mean, you said it, you lived in New York. I believe you've lived in San Francisco. Did you live in San Francisco as well?
I didn't live in San Francisco, but I lived outside of San Francisco, and I lived in Sacramento,
okay,
which is the capital.
So what have you, what did you,
the same size as Milwaukee,
what,
similar size.
What maybe surprised you? Or maybe, I don't know the best way to put it, but what are you able to get maybe in a bigger metropolitan area than what you could have got in a smaller community?
So what I've been able to get in a larger city,
yeah,
a smaller community?
Some of the big, I guess I would call it the biggest positives that you see maybe, and you can use Milwaukee as the best example.
Well, one of the biggest positives is the diversity. There's one of the things I love about Milwaukee is there are so many different cultures here. And it's, you know, it's just a very diverse, multicultural city. So you learn a lot. You learn a lot by just meeting people who are not exactly like you or what you've grown up with, but you ask questions, you hang out with them, you know. We're all human at the end of the day, and it's a great learning opportunity to grow, you know, not only in learning about different cultures in the world and different traditions, but also just as a human being.
We're talking to Jennifer Grundy, Milwaukee resident, Wausau native here on Bow Falls Radio. When you hear comments like Trump made last week, or even I would say, I would think almost it'd be more disturbing when you hear the Republicans in the state capitol when they're discussing different issues, basically, in a lot of ways, I would call dumping on Milwaukee. What do you think? What is the discussion for residents in Milwaukee when it feels at times you're a bit of a punching bag for some issues that really are not Milwaukee's fault?
Well, I mean, it makes us angry and irritated, and it's like we have to defend ourselves against something that's not even, like you say, it's not our fault. And the crime rate has actually gone down in the past, since 2022, the crime rate has gone down. So, and that's nationwide. We're not even in the highest percentage of crime in the, you know, the United States. So to hear, you know, those comments, and it's frustrating.
Could I ask you about, you said it, diversity, and that's been such a hot-button issue with Robin Voss in the state capitol and others. They try to, you know, take funding away from the universities and just basically try to erase diversity, equity, inclusion programs. And you said it, I think, a couple of times here about that being such a big positive. If you were to talk to, say, Robin Voss, and try to explain to him, and I think a lot of what he's doing is political. I think it's this, he thinks he's talking to people who live in the small towns and trying to get the votes in these rural areas. But if you were to talk to, well, anybody about the positives of, especially, you know, diversity and why these DEI programs are not a bad thing at all.
I mean, we have to evolve, and diversity is something to be celebrated. Yes, we all want equality, but what makes us different is also something to be celebrated. So to make people who maybe don't fit into a certain idea of what people like Robin Voss, you know, think is what should be the norm, so then you're pushing those people down, and it's not fair to be excluding people. And I don't understand at the end of the day how it is a negative.
What are your thoughts? Oh, sorry.
Do people lose by just being kind, you know?
Right.
And listening.
You know, and let me say that word, kindness. And I think that that's one of the things, and again, I'm going to put it out there. One of the things that annoys me most about Donald Trump is he's not a very kind person.
No.
And the leadership of whether it's a community or whether it's a state, and especially whether it's a country, having that empathy, having an ability to look at each other and find the goodness instead of constantly having this mean streak. And I just think that, you know, if, for the country's sake, that if we were able to use that kindness aspect, it's so vitally important. And we've seen, I think, in the last 10 years since he became a political figure, that people may have avoided saying some things. Well, now they feel like, hey, this guy says this, it's okay to say it. And that's led to a lot of issues. And that's my editorial comment on it.
Yes, I agree 100%. I mean, you know, if it's okay to be a bully, then someone who feels like they want to be a bully, or they're insecure and that's why they're going after someone who's different than them, then they feel validated. They feel validated because, hey, our president is doing that. Mm-hmm. Our president is pushing people down, making fun of journalists who are disabled, for example. I mean, I don't know how it didn't stop at that. That didn't change things, because that was horrifying.
Right.
You know, but it's really disappointing to have, you know, such a large number of people in this country support that mentality. And it's, you know, it's disappointing. And I guess all we can do is just continue to try and be positive and you know, have discussions with one another, have honest discussions, no matter what we believe. Like, just sit down and talk to people who have different beliefs than us. I don't know. I mean, how else are we going to, you know, move forward as a country if we're so divided about everything and not able to just sit and talk like human beings? We're all human beings at the end of the day.
And one final question. Obviously, you know, in the next number of weeks, the convention will be in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, 4 years ago when the Democrats were there, unfortunately, we had to go through something called the global pandemic, and that obviously took away the opportunity for a full convention. How do you feel about it? I mean, obviously, it's probably good for the economy of the state and the city of Milwaukee, but at the same time, welcoming Donald Trump to town, I imagine there's some mixed feelings.
Yes. I've worked in the restaurant industry for several years, and I just know I know a lot of the people in the industry here are a little wary of how these people coming to town are going to treat them, just because there's just not a lot of kindness that we've seen, you know, in this current climate. I'm hoping for something better, you know, maybe there'll be something positive that comes out of it. I mean, I'm hoping that it's, you know, positive for our city in some way. But we'll see, I guess, what happens.
Yeah, we will see. That's definitely, I think, a good way to wrap it up. Jenna, I really appreciate the time. Again, it's wonderful to talk to you. It's great to know that you're proud of your city, being there for 15 years, obviously. And again, really appreciate it. Hopefully the next month or so goes well for everybody, as you said, in the food industry and everybody else down in Milwaukee when the GOP comes to town. But again, thank you very much. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chad.
That's Jennifer Grundy, again, Wausau native, Milwaukee resident for the last 15 years. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Todd Alba Show. Todd welcomes Harry Dunn, a former U.S. Capitol police officer who helped defend democracy on January 6th, 2021. He shares what it was like to be there on that fateful day and how he continues to advocate for democracy now that he's left the police force.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ten before the hour of 1 o'clock here in hour number two. And what's worse for you? And talking about renewable energy. But right now we're honored to have our guest with us, Harry Dunn, former Capitol police officer, author of a great book right here in front of me called Standing My Ground, Capitol Police Officers Fight for Accountability and Good Trouble After January 6th. Officer Dunn, talk to us a little bit about after January 6th. And my former party, as people know, I left in 2011, the Republican Party, but with the exception of former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and former Congressman Adam Kinzinger, my former party didn't seem to have a whole lot of chutzpah, of guts to, quote-unquote, back the blue. But how does it feel being a former Capitol police officer and seeing this Republican Party all but abandon you guys?
It sucks. You know, it sucks. And it's not even about back the blue. That's a slogan, man. It's a cool hashtag.
Right.
They could put it as the topic of the subject of a fundraiser email. It's worthless unless their actions put behind it. And like January 6th, man, like this isn't about liberal versus conservatism, or this isn't about, hey, we're spending too much money in X amount of place. We can have those discussions later. But this is about what's right and wrong. Y'all watched on TV, y'all watched on live broadcast, people beating the crap out of police officers on behalf of the former president. But that's not speculation. That's not the left grandstanding. That is what happened. The people that were there on January 6th said that they were there because the former president told them to come there. They were there with the intentions of stopping the steal and stopping the certification of the election. I don't understand. Just because, yeah, it makes your leader look bad, how can you downplay, deny that truth? Like that. I hate the whataboutisms, and they don't understand how two things can be true. Sure, you want to win the presidency, you can be want to be conservative, and you want to take away Roe v. Wade. That's fine. Like, I have my own opinions about that. But when it comes down to what happened that day, those people were sent to the Capitol by the former president to attack it and to stop the delay, stop whatever, the certification of the election. And, you know, people want to blame, or the Capitol wasn't prepared and officers did this and blah, 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 or Nancy Pelosi didn't do enough security, whatever. I hear all of that. That's kind of like blaming the person for not locking their house when a burglar breaks in.
Right.
Like, right. Sure. Sure. Maybe we should have more security, but not blame the robber for coming in and breaking in. At what point does personal accountability matter? Well, something that Republicans preach a lot, but it seems like they don't receive it.
Give us the 1 minute. You're talking to the statewide audience here, to people in my former party, people independents who might have a back the blue sign in their yard, who vote for the local sheriff. What would you say to those folks in 1 minute about this election for president in 2024?
Well, you can still back the blue. You could still be conservative. That's fine. Like, I understand that. That's fine. And we can argue those differences and like they did in the good old days, you know, and still be friends afterwards. Now it's like you're either with them or you're against them. People need to understand what happened on January 6th was caused by Donald Trump lying about the election being stolen. Now, even if you want Donald Trump, that's fine. But let's not go off on these tangent of alternative facts. And let's be real about what happened. And that's the picture that I'm trying to paint here in Wisconsin and all across the country, to tell voters, hey, you could still be conservative, but that individual, the former president, only cares about himself and he doesn't care about other people.
A little over 2 minutes left here. We're talking to Harry Dunn, former Capitol police officer. I want to talk about your Democracy Defenders, Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders PAC, what you're doing now to help us save democracy.
So, yeah, so I, after January 6th, I did all that I can do. Like, stand at January 6th, we did our job as police officers. On January 7th, I'm doing my this up until now, speaking out because I love this country. I value our institutions. I think we need to elect people that represent our best interests in those institutions. And I ran for Congress myself unsuccessfully. My primary was May the 14th. And I came in second place out of 22 candidates. But I still want to continue to fight against MAGA extremists. And that's the goal of our PAC, to help elect candidates that want to fight against MAGA extremists. And that's not necessarily saying only Democrats, because look, there are Republicans out there, some few, very few and far between, that don't subscribe to the MAGA ideology. Mm-hmm. And those are the people I think that we need to have a healthy democracy so we can have healthy conversations with across the aisle. Liz Cheney and I didn't agree on anything fundamentally, but we were able to sit down at the table and respect each other and have conversations about it. Same Adam Kinzinger. You know, I love Adam. He's a very dear friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But being able to have conversations with him and find respect each other as individuals and human beings and finding middle ground, it's what it's all about.
You can find Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders on Facebook, amongst other places. You can text Dunn, D-U-N-N, to 78077. That's Dunn, D-U-N-N, to 78077. Mr. Zommers will have that in the show notes. A couple minutes left here. I wish we could talk to you. You're one of these guys, Officer Dunn, where I could sit down with a beer. I could just listen to you all afternoon and be enthralled. I appreciate everything that you have done and your colleagues, the Capitol Police officers. You are American heroes. There's no doubt about that. I appreciate everything you have done. As you go around Wisconsin, what surprised you being out here and talking to people? What do you come away with that you didn't know before?
It matters to people. One, elections matter. And two, a lot of people aren't sure about what happened that day. Sure, and living in D.C., or you can feel like you're living in a bubble, you know, watching cable news all the time. But understanding that, hey, some people aren't sure about what happened on January 6th. They want to know what happened without all the political spin to it. You know, all right, Donald Trump sent a group of people to the Capitol. They beat up cops. They tried to stop a certification of the election. That's what happened. So people want to understand what happened without all the political mumbo jumbo that a lot of people in that bubble listen to, that get used to. So I like that part. The people just want to know the facts. Yeah. And those are the people we're trying to reach. I'm not going to, it's some MAGA people, though I'll never convince. Right. But at the middle, average, everyday American person, I'm happy to talk to.
Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police officer, great author of a great book, and activist for Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders. Thank you, Officer Dunn, for all you do for America. You're an American hero. I salute you. God bless you. Safe travels here in Wisconsin. Come back and see you soon.
Todd, we're going to get that beer. I will take you up on that.
You got it. Thank you very much, Officer Dunn. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for hour two of the Todd Allbaugh Show, straight ahead right here on this
locally grown
this
radio.
Is locally
from
grown
Vesper
radio,
Glover,
WFHR.
We are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and
tune in for the next Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're fresh off our Cedarburg Strawberry Fest hangovers. You'll want to tune in Monday, Big Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and Central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.